under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
On 91.7 FM, we talk about God's good news.
You're listening to The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to welcome you aboard as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issues of the day. We're talking about today a subject that I believe should be on everyone's heart, mind, and agenda to consider and prayerfully ask God to continue to intervene. We're talking about today a beacon of hope. A beacon of hope. Ladies and gentlemen, for a nation that's in chaos and confusion and calamity after calamity, today, most Americans must admit that there is a beacon of hope, a glimmer of hope. Let me just simply say this at the very outset. As we look at what has taken place, I believe every Christian, every conservative, every patriot in America, they're seeing today as a bright new day, a beginning of a new era, a new hope, a new opportunity. In fact, the stock market recognized that the morning after President Trump was recognized as the winner of the campaign for the president of the United States of America, for the 47th president. The stock market jumped, opening on November the 6th, opened at 1,350 points up. That tells me that there's a lot of hope just in the financial markets. We're going to talk about hope, where our hope ought to be, what has taken place, why it's taken place, what we need to look forward to, and what is going to happen in the next 70-plus days between the inauguration of Donald J. Trump, his swearing-in ceremony on January the 20th, and today. Will there be any chaos and confusion? Will there be any difficulties? Will there be any efforts to block Trump and what Trump will be doing once he goes into office? The answer to those questions are absolutely unequivocally yes. So how should we respond? What should we as Christians and conservatives do? May I remind you, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at issues each and every day, we do so based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God. I call it the truth book. The truth book. May I say to you in Psalms 33:12, the Bible says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Ladies and gentlemen, the scripture is clear, and when it comes to what we have in relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope that we have today in him. In 1 Timothy, the first chapter, and in the first verse, the scripture talks about our hope being in the Lord Jesus Christ and not in something else or someone else, but in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. In fact, the scripture says, "And the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope." Ladies and gentlemen, even though we have a fresh hope, a new vantage point, viewpoint, new analysis of where we're going based on comparison of just 30 days ago, I believe that it is good, but I do not want us, we as Christians, conservatives, and patriots, do not want us to sit back and say, "We won, that's the end of it, stop praying." That won't work. So as we face the issues, and we talk about a beacon of hope, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, in John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his disciples, said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. The Bible says, thy word is truth. Then in Psalms 117, verse 2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Some have asked the question, how long is forever? It's forever. It is without end. But ladies and gentlemen, multitudes today, if not most, reject the truth. I go back to the secularist George Orwell in his dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell made this statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And I find that to be truthful, if I can use that word and that term. But truth matters whether you accept it or not, whether you embrace it or not. Truth matters. But according to one of the surveys recently, headline says, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. I find that distressing. The 18 to 35-year-old age group, the millennials, say there's no such thing as absolute truth. In fact, their de facto statement is each person determines their own version of truth. You've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, let me say again, a half-truth is a whole lie. A half-truth is a whole lie. That's what's happening today in the remnants of the Kamala Harris campaign. They're pointing fingers. Who caused the defeat? Who was it? Was it the candidate? Was it the DNC? Was it the chairman of the campaign for Kamala Harris and Tim Walz? Was it that they didn't have enough funding? Was it as a result of Kamala Harris herself? We'll talk about that during the course of this broadcast today, because there's a lot of finger-pointing going on in the DNC today. They're already orchestrating on who they want as the candidate for 2028. I find that to be laughable, but nevertheless, that's taking place. They're failing to recognize the truth, and the truth is they had a wicked, wretched, rotten, useless candidate running for the office of president. She was campaigning for 107 days, blew through $1 billion, and then went into the hole another $20 million. Now, supposedly, the campaign has a deficit of $20 million and still could not win? We'll talk about that today. Why? What happened? What were the deficits in that campaign that gave such a landslide election victory for Donald J. Trump? Keep in mind, Trump had, I think it was 312 or 314 electoral college votes, and Trump had the majority of the popular vote. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made this statement, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And that's my challenge. And I believe that's where Trump stands today. In fact, we're all upset, we're all concerned, we're all agitated and bothered when his life was threatened, when there was the assassination attempts on at least two occasions. And as we, if we believe the CIA, the FBI, the DOJ, there were another two or three threats on his life. But with the one where a nanosecond in movement saved Trump's life, and Trump has admitted several times on the campaign trail leading up to the election that God saved his life that he might save America. Now, I don't know if Trump really understands the depth and the breadth of that theological, doctrinal, biblical, truthful statement that he's made. But I believe that to be the case. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we need to stand for truth today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a benchmark, an identifier. Tools for Time has on its campus a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole is flowing the Old Glory, the U.S. flag, 24/7. Find that flag, the flagpole, the base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to have a brief monologue. After the monologue, our telephone lines will be open. And we're asking you to call in today, 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. First of all, I want us to recognize today is Veterans Day. And I want us to be thankful, ladies and gentlemen, for the veterans that's alive today, that's in uniform, those that are retired, not necessarily in uniform. But we need to recognize, ladies and gentlemen, all of these veterans and give thanks to God for them that made the sacrifice that has allowed us to remain free today. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, each and every day we need to remember our veterans and their courage and their dedication and their unwavering commitment to the protection of our freedoms that we hold so dear. We're reminded of the depths of their love for our nation. Ladies and gentlemen, it takes a love for the flag, a love for our nation, a love for our Constitution, for a person to put that uniform on, go out and face the bullets that could mean the difference between life and death, to protect America and that which we love. Because of their sacrifice, ladies and gentlemen, their willingness to stand, we have the freedoms that we have today that are being protected. So thank you, thank you, thank you to all of our veterans. Perhaps you're listening today, you're a veteran. We're thankful for you. We're thankful for your life. We're thankful for your service. Thankful for your commitment. So let's say thank you, Lord, for giving us a free nation and those veterans that continue to stand to protect our freedom. Ladies and gentlemen, immediately after the balance of this brief monologue, we're going to ask you to call 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. Want to get your take on what has happened in this election, what caused it, what brought it about. But ladies and gentlemen, I want us to recognize the underlying factor is that even though we can place our hope and trust and confidence in that which God has done and the leadership that he's given us through Donald J. Trump, our ultimate hope, our ultimate trust must be in the Lord Jesus Christ, not in man. In fact, in Hebrews 6:19, the scripture says, which hope we have as an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into the that within the veil. It is our hope which is the anchor today in our lives. Colossians 1:27 is a verse that gives us an understanding of hope. The scripture says, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So God says Christ in you is the hope that we have today. But we can place our hope and trust and confidence in God as God leads, empowers, and gives wisdom to the leadership that God has provided us with. Listen, we're in a unique position as a nation that should cause Christians, conservatives, and patriots to rejoice in the recognition that unless something reverses the votes, like truckloads after midnight, like changing ballots, or producing ballots that are simply replicated and counted and counted. That's called fraudulent votes, by the way, if you've not heard about those. Unless that takes place in some shrouded fashion, the presidency, the Oval Office, is Donald J. Trump. And it looks as though we have control of the House, approaching the 218 that's necessary to offset any challenge with a vote, and then controlling the Senate with about 52, 53 senators. So we hold the three branches, ladies and gentlemen, the legislative and the, ladies and gentlemen, the executive branch. And I'm continuing to pray that we could say that we still hold the majority vote as conservative and the U.S. Supreme Court. So with that being the case, ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that can prevent America from moving forward with protection of our freedoms, with protection of our liberties, with protection of our constitutional, ladies and gentlemen, republic and the representative form of government, only thing that can protect us is the hope that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now understand that we have a lot of things before us in the next 70 plus days before the inauguration of Donald Trump. We'll talk about some of that in a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, listen, that tectonic change that just occurred with the Trump victory. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you a little brief blurb overview of indications of that tectonic change. And then we'll start taking our callers. The stock market, as I said a moment ago, hit its record high the morning after the election. The illegal invaders in the caravan, I understand that some 3,200 illegal invaders were marching toward the Mexico-American border. But outside of Mexico, on the other side of the American borders, they heard that Donald Trump had won the election. I understand, based on some of the news factors that I have been keeping up with, that about half of those illegal invaders have turned back because they heard that Donald Trump has been elected. Hamas now, ladies and gentlemen, is calling for an end of the war. Hamas calling for something to end the war in Gaza. Russia's Putin's already discussing the end of the Ukrainian war, discussing it by telephone with Donald J. Trump. Qatar, that was housing the chief honchos, as I call them, the four, five, or six men that were heading the Hamas battle, they were orchestrating and carrying out the war plans out of Qatar in a luxurious hotel with the suites atop the buildings. Ladies and gentlemen, Qatar has just kicked them all out of Qatar and said they're not welcome. Why is that? Why is that so? Because Donald Trump is president. The European Union will buy U.S. gas, not Russian gas, according to the latest statements. Putin will sell oil in U.S. dollars and not going to the other currency that they had talked about doing. Zelensky now makes a phone call to Donald J. Trump, and Elon Musk was on that call with Trump. New York City mayor ends the voucher system of handing out dollars for the illegal invaders. Mexico stopping those invaders at the border and not allowing them to come into America. Ladies and gentlemen, I don't know if you understand the basic overview that I just gave us. That is the reversal of 80% of the policy procedures and the plans, the preparations, the executive orders that Joe Biden had put in place along with Kamala Harris. All of that seemingly overnight has changed. What has changed? The election of Donald J. Trump, even before he's sworn into office. The world recognizes that America is a different place. Now, all of that I've said to set the stage for what we're talking about today. A beacon of hope. A beacon of hope. Ladies and gentlemen, it's an impossibility for us to not see, as I would call it, the handwriting on the wall. The handwriting on the wall. This, I'm reading one article, says, this election is the most important than ever before. And it's being based, the votes are being based on our beliefs and our values. The Christian vote has mattered. And I made a little footnote on that article. We prayed, we planned, we voted, we won. It's as simple as that. But yet, ladies and gentlemen, let me put a little parenthetical footnote there. I believe had we not voted across, had we not prayed across America through our churches and through Christians, through pastors that were willing and had a spine and a backbone to stand up, speak up, talk about the election, call on the citizens to vote, call on the citizens to pray, and ask God to intervene. I believe had that not taken place on a wholesale basis across America, we would not be talking about this issue today. I believe I have a caller on the line. Go with the question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Youngblood.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I pray that you are.
I pray that you are also, but I'll tell you something. I don't care what people think or say, but this was Obama's trying to get back into the White House. Because he controlled, I call him Crazy Joe, but Joe Biden. I don't call him president. And if you remember, when there was debating about who's going to be the Democratic candidate for presidency, she cut him up. And like she is, she's not black. Whatever she wants to be, whatever she wants to be.
It's what you call a chameleon. It's the color and the words change based on the ethnicity of the audience.
Right. I mean, as she said this out of her mouth, I'll say what get me elected. I mean, I saw this on TV and I'm like, what the heck? And one reporter asked her, okay, you been to the southern border? Yes. He said, you lying. And she said, well, I never been to Paris. And she grinned. And it was crazy. If anybody tried to vote for her, they are crazy. But I thank God he gave us a reprieve, gave us Trump back, because he's not a professional politician. He ran this country like a business. And he had us, I mean, we had the Keystone Pipeline, and we were shipping oil and gas and everything to other people, and he had everything low. The shelves were full, but when they were in there, a loaf of bread cost you what, $5, $6 just for a loaf of bread.
Kenneth, one of the things that you're saying is absolutely factual. One of the things that we see is that tectonic shift since the morning of November the 6th. But yet we have organizations and people that are in charge. For example, Letitia James vows to continue the war against President-elect Donald J. Trump.
Yes.
Goes on to talk about Kathy Hochul and the Attorney General, Letitia James of New York, are prosecuting Donald Trump. They vowed to fight back against any potential revenge or retribution. Listen, we hear them talking about Trump is going to have revenge and retribution against all of his enemies. Now, I want to make a statement. I want to get your take on that before we let you go. The fact is that President Donald J. Trump, once sworn in, must, M-U-S-T, bring to justice all of those that have broken the laws in the lawfare and the attempt to undermine our constitutional republic. That is his obligation. That is his responsibility. You can call that, if you want to, you can call it revenge, you can call it retribution, but I call it restoration, is making America right again. What's your take on that? Should he just drop everything? Should he ignore all of the lawfare? Should he ignore all of the laws that have been broken in the four-year tenure of Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? Or should he do something that would make it right?
I tell you what, we call it justice.
Yes.
Justice.
That's a good term. We need to have justice, and the way you have justice is bringing lawbreakers to the bar of justice and punishing those that have brought it about. Just like, I can use this as an example, one of the chief supervisors with FEMA made the statement to and sent out a memo. Sent out a memo that if there's a Trump's, if there's a Trump flag or a Trump sign in the yard, skip that house. Do not offer to try to help them with FEMA money. Now, she was at first when that was brought to the attention, and I'm thankful for our governor, Governor Ron DeSantis. He's already launched an investigation into it, and the FEMA headquarters then decided they would just place her on leave until they investigated it. And as of the morning's news, they have fired her, which is the only right. That is what you spoke of, justice. That's not retribution. That is not revenge. That is simply bringing about justice, as you spoke of. That's a good example of it, and I pray that we'll see more and more of it.
Yes, sir. Yes,
all right, thank you. Thank you so much for your call. You have a blessed day. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about today a beacon of hope. Do you see that hope? Where? What are you hoping for? I believe that's a proper question. What are you hoping for? What are you expecting? What do you expect Donald J. Trump to do? He's already said major numbers of things he wants to do. One of the things he said recently, we're going to finish building the wall. Do you think we need to finish building the wall? He has put into position now a border czar. That border czar will report directly to him, won't be in the Department of Homeland Security, where it goes through the morass of a political structure. It'll go, he will report directly to Donald J. Trump as president. He said that he's going to seal the border. He said he's going to deport millions of people. The Bleeding Heart Liberals on Communist Network News and some of the other, what you would call bleeding hearts, have now said that Trump cannot deport 20 million people. Who says he can't? They're even complaining that there's some of what they call now anchor babies, some of those babies that were from the illegal invaders that have come in, that those babies are legitimately U.S. citizens and they cannot be deported. I want us to understand that is not codified in the Constitution as being relevant and or real. It's been a made-up statistic, made-up fact, or made-up thought, or an excuse for years and years and years now. So I'm wondering what Trump is going to do with that. But the bottom line is, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that at this moment, even though we do have a beacon of hope, I do not want our hope misplaced or wrongly adjudicated toward President Donald J. Trump. Our hope is not in man, but in God. Hope thou in the Lord is the statement that is made in the scripture and in Psalms 33:12. I read a moment ago. Blessed are the nation whose God is the Lord and the people whom he hath chosen. Ladies and gentlemen, our hope is in the Lord. Our hope and trust and confidence ought to be in God, not in man. But nevertheless, God's used Donald J. Trump in the past. I believe because of our prayers, divine intervention has set in. God has placed Trump, is placing Trump back in office. But in the meantime, we've got about 70-plus days, ladies and gentlemen, about 70 days. I'm looking at an article from Jay Sekulow, ACLJ. He says, the left is in full panic mode. Biden and Harris are already plotting to use the 70-plus days from the election day until Trump's inauguration to enshrine every socialist plan and policy that they can. The deep state unconstitutionally subverted President Trump at every turn during the first term, and they are already scheming to do so again. The survival of our constitutional republic depends on defeating these illegal schemes. We're already ramping up our legal team to fight back. Just days ago, we filed a critical brief to have Biden's hand-picked special prosecutor, Jack Smith, removed from his unconstitutional political prosecution against Trump. And now, in breaking news, Smith is backing down, a huge win for us. But we're still battling the Trump-Harris deep state in 18 different lawsuits as we take on the seemingly endless resources of the Biden-Harris deep state in the court system. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that we have hope, but that hope is nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. We can thank God for what we see and for what has been taking place in this election. But, ladies and gentlemen, when we thank the Lord for it, we need also recognize that our hope is in Him. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news, we'll be right back as we continue to face the issues.